Welcome to the author commentary for Star Wars From a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back. Here we're going to go behind the scenes with contributors to discuss the creative process behind their stories. I'm Alex Davis, a member of the Delray Star Wars editorial team. And before we get going, a word of caution. These conversations may contain story spoilers. You have been warned. So right now we're talking to Seth Dickinson, author of a story called The Final Order. Welcome to the show, Seth.
Great to be here.
So, in a book full of, you know, bit part people, this is a pretty bitty part guy. He's on screen for something like 10 seconds. He's one of the Imperial who are in the meeting with Darth Vader as the ships are flying into the asteroid field. And he dies in the field. You can see the hologram fizzle out. It goes completely unremarked upon. What made you want to choose specifically this Imperial?
Well, he has a really clear story on screen, which is you get this external shot of an asteroid hitting a Star Destroyer. Cuts to the internal with Vader. There's the scan hologram. He puts his hand up in fear. He disappears. So in the span of like 2 seconds of screen time, Star Wars is really good editing. he goes from presumably someone powerful, a commander in charge of a warship in a reasonably elite force, to this like hopeless bug being wiped out by this asteroid from whose course was set like millions of years ago in some fragmentation, something, some event. And it was just incredibly pathetic. And I wanted to write a pathetic story in which nothing happens about this pathetic person. Because I really didn't want to do a story that over-mythologized. Like the classic example in the old EU is like everybody stole the Death Star plans. There were like 55 different bit characters involved in stealing the Death Star plans. There's the ice cream maker guy, and maybe the ice cream maker he was holding was the Death Star plans. IG-88, he uploads his brain into the second Death Star. Everybody's got some like crazy stuff going on. So I was hoping to pull back the curtain on one of these bit characters, and instead of building them up to be like a pivotal figure in the universe, just be like, he's a guy, he's a functionary, he's an officer, he does his part, but he's not important in any way.
Yeah, in a universe where, you know, a background extra in a cantina can get a 12-issue series, this Imperial in particular has gone unnamed and undefined for nearly 40 years. Would you reckon that that patheticness of him is maybe partially why that is?
I am astonished he was not mined by the old EU. I would honestly have expected there was some short story about him and his terrible fear of asteroids and... He was just about to get a promotion to oversee the garrison on Naboo, and he was thinking of quitting and becoming a restaurant critic. And at that moment, as he like read the message confirming his transfer, he was hit by an asteroid and killed. That's what I assumed would be the universe. But no, apparently not. He hasn't even been named.
Yeah, it's clear that you are a familiar hand with the EU, and you can see it in the story. Actually, there's some very fun references to other Star Wars story, including a reference to a particular Jedi defending the Jedi Temple. Want to tell us more about that little Easter egg?
Yeah, I mean, so I grew up with the expanded universe, and a couple of my favorite books after the, you know, the original Zahn books everyone started out with were Matthew Stover's Shatterpoint and Traitor, which are set in very different parts of the timeline, but are both about people in really extreme moral circumstances, kind of this heart of darkness. And at the end of Traitor, there's a Jedi who puts on this epic last stand against alien invaders in the Senate chamber, yeah. So that was just a wink. There are explicit ties to Shatterpoint, which is set on this planet Harren Kaal, in terms of this Imperial officer's PTSD, PTSD from his time there. But the wink to this Jedi's last stand isn't meant to like try to canonize the old New Jedi Order story. It's just a acknowledgement of how much I liked Traitor. And that character's name is Genner.
Yeah. So another little wink that I think readers might not know about is the origin of Cannon House's name, actually, which is a fun little Easter egg. Do you care to fill them in on that?
Yeah, just the actor who played the bit part was named Stephen Buchanan, and I think the meaning of that name in Gaelic might be like born in a cannon house. I don't actually know what a cannon house is. I assume it's something religious. But I just wanted to acknowledge the actor there. I feel like I would be really annoyed if I had a 2-second on-screen role in The Empire Strikes Back 50 years ago. Then somebody wrote a story about me and like never called me or consulted me. Like, did you have feelings when you put your hand up into fear? Was that method acting?
I don't know. What was your motivation?
Yeah. Yeah.
So on a, you know,
I also just wanted to say, I wanted to call him Cannon House with a K, because I wanted it to be like a Star Warsy name, and Cannon Jarrus seemed to suggest, you know, Cannon was like a root. But Lucasfilm was like, it's too much like Cannon Jarrus if you call him Cannon House with a K. So he has a C now. Although, who knows what that letter is called in Arabesh? Not me.
Yeah. So the Empire in this story, the evil they do, it isn't exactly like the overt wickedness of the movies. It's sort of a quotidian and impersonal version of it. It's actually kind of harrowingly believable, this idea, this preoccupation with these buffering layers of procedure and tactics that are all designed to sort of hide the dark core of the Empire so that normal people can do these like terrible, atrocious things while all the while disclaiming them. It reminds me actually of another Empire, The Masquerade, in your amazing series, Baru Cormorant. It's clear that this sort of agent of Empire is a personal interest to you. What is it about them?
So I was trained in social psychology, and one of the big areas of interest of social psych is why people commit atrocities and how they can go from ordinary, you know, citizens to machine gunning their neighbors or killing them with machetes. And there are a lot of interesting, complicated questions about that. For a long time, the consensus was basically people will pretty much do anything you tell them if the conditions of authority are right. I think now there's some pushback against that, especially because a lot of famous psych experiments don't seem to be replicating very well. Like, the Stanford Prison Experiment, which has been covered a lot, was basically a hoax. Like, so I don't like to cross the streams in my other work. It feels unprofessional somehow to like plug my own books. So what I would actually say is I think the Empire depicted in this story is not. Sure, there are the layers of bureaucratic indifference and the forms you got to file and the orders you're given. And everybody finds a way to say, I didn't do the really bad stuff. It was someone else's fault. And sure, so it's tempting to say, oh, yeah, the tiny cogs in the machine don't really know what's going on and can't take moral responsibility. But that's not actually true. They actually do know what's going on. They just find ways. In the study of atrocities, often one of the ways people rationalize it is, sure, I machine gunned some people, but I didn't bayonet them. Like, I wasn't especially cruel. There was someone else who did something worse. So I wanted to show kind of those mechanisms at work. And obviously the name of the story, The Final Order, points to, you know, the sequel trilogy and where the Empire ends up. And I wanted to kind of show the logic of how the Empire could eat itself and turn it into the quote-unquote Final Order, which seems to have no ideology at all, except its own existence.
Right, yeah, there's that harrowing passage near the end. I really loved, while reading it, how it just sort of highlighted the ridiculousness of Empire. It's like inherent buffoonery, and yet the fact that, without downplaying its menace at all, really amazing stuff.
Yeah.
So thank you, Seth, very much for being with us and answering those questions so excellently. Thanks, everyone, for listening as well. You can read The Final Order and all the other stories in From a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back, available now from all your favorite booksellers in print, ebook, and audio download. Thank you very much, and may the Force be with you.